It's the Old Man Yells at Music podcast, a show about big and little hits from the 70s, 80s and 90s in the US, UK and Canada. Also forgotten albums, pop music on TV, and more. I'm your announcer, Annie Stewart, and here's the old man himself, Roger Stroop.
Hello, and welcome to episode 135 of the Old Man Yells at Music podcast. I'm Roger Stroop. This week we're looking at the charts of June 22nd, 1980. Around this time, the sports world was turned toward Montreal, where American Sugar Ray Leonard, a gold medalist from the 1976 Olympics in that same city, defended his World Welterweight Boxing Championship against Panamanian Roberto Duran. In an upset, the challenger with the nickname Hands of Stone took the title by unanimous decision. They would have a rematch 5 months later in New Orleans, but that's a whole other story. Let's see what was going on in the culture beyond the sweet science. At the movies, just like we saw in 1977, the month of June in 1980 was dominated by a Star Wars flick. In this case, The Empire Strikes Back, the second film in the series that is actually Episode 5. Anyway, but a trio of new releases managed to break through and become major hits. There was Urban Cowboy, which had John Travolta doing for country music what he did for disco in Saturday Night Fever, as a guy who worked in an oil field by day and rode a mechanical bull in a bar by night. You also had the Blues Brothers, with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd reprising their R&B-loving Saturday Night Live characters as they try to complete their mission from God and get their band back together. And there was The Blue Lagoon, about two children who are stranded alone on a tropical island and grow up to innocently discover their sexuality. The girl was played by the then 15-year-old Brooke Shields, but apparently all of her frontal nude scenes were performed by a 32-year-old body double. Among the other films put out this month were The Mountain Men, a western starring Charlton Heston as a beaver trapper, the sexy space comedy Galaxina, starring tragic Playboy playmate Dorothy Stratton, Mad Magazine presents Up the Academy, a comedy about troublemaking military school cadets that was Mad's attempt to replicate the success of National Lampoon and Animal House, The Island, another adaptation of a novel by Jaws creator Peter Benchley, this one featuring Michael Caine getting kidnapped by inbred pirates, Roadie, starring Meatloaf as a trucker-turned-rock road crew member with a cast including Art Carney, Soul Train's Don Cornelius, and music stars Roy Orbison, Hank Williams Jr., Alice Cooper, and Blondie as themselves. Also, the biblical comedy Holy Moses, with a cast including Dudley Moore, Dom DeLuise, Madeline Kahn, and Richard Pryor. The Burt Reynolds jewel thief caper, Rough Cut. Brubaker, a prison drama with Robert Redford as a warden looking to clean up the system. The fourth Love Bug movie, Herbie Goes Bananas. The live-action Disney adventure, The Last Flight of Noah's Ark, with Elliot Gould, Jean-Genevieve Bujold, and Ricky Schroeder. And the action comedy, The Stuntman, highlighted by an Oscar-nominated performance by Peter O'Toole. And there was an infamous disaster release this month, Can't Stop the Music, a musical starring the now unfashionable Village People, alongside Valerie Perrine, Steve Guttenberg, and the artist now known as Caitlyn Jenner. The big TV news happened at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the 1st, when the Cable News Network, or CNN for short, began broadcasting. Launched by TV mogul Ted Turner and based in his hometown of Atlanta, this was the first 24-hour all-news channel. It started slowly, but it eventually found its footing and became a go-to source for breaking news, from the Challenger disaster to the first Gulf War to the O.J. Simpson trial. Eventually, other channels like Fox News and MSNBC provided stiff competition, and in recent years, the network has been trying to find the right direction to stay relevant in the current environment. But CNN will always be the first, and those voiceovers by James Earl Jones will remain a pop culture touchstone. On the bestseller lists, fiction readers were turning to Judith Krantz's Princess Daisy, another of her stories of rich people and sex and scandal. Also, Belva Plaine's family saga Random Winds, The Ninja, the first in a series of martial arts thrillers by Eric Van Lustbader, and Innocent Blood, mystery writer P.D. James's tale of a girl who becomes endangered while trying to find her birth parents. Meanwhile, top nonfiction titles included Thy Neighbor's Wife, journalist Gay Talese's look at post-World War II American sexual attitudes, The Third Wave, futurist Alvin Toffler's sequel to his 1973 bestseller Future Shock, and another sequel, Jim Fix's Second Book of Running. And also, two Watergate figures had books on the list. Break-in participant G. Gordon Liddy had his autobiography, Will, and the man who declared he wasn't a crook himself, Richard Nixon, had The Real War, in which he insisted he knew how to end the Cold War. Maybe if he'd concentrated on that instead of other things, he could have done that while still in office. But then no one would know who Gordy Liddy was, and we wouldn't have that great SCTV sketch in which he denied ordering the Apple Brown Ratty. And in music, the big story happened on the 25th, when Sony released the Walkman in the United States. The pocket-sized portable cassette player with headphones had been introduced in Japan the year earlier to great success, and it quickly took off in America and the rest of the world. The effects of the Walkman's popularity included an increase in sales of pre-recorded and blank cassettes, more people walking for exercise because they could do so to their favorite music, and perhaps most importantly, it normalized people wearing headphones while going about their day in public, which ultimately led to the iPod, streaming music services, and podcasts. And now here I am, in your ears, about to talk about some of the songs that were probably played on those early Walkmans. The Circle of Life. Now to the charts.
Below the Top 40s.
As always, we begin below the Top 40s. This week we're looking at an act with roots in the punk scene that tried a power pop direction while new wave and mod sounds were preeminent in the British rock scene. At number 67 in the UK, it's Hey Girl by The Expressos. Formed in Battersea in 1979, The Expressos were started by bassist Johnny Christo and guitarist Mick Toldy, who had previously been in the punk band Bazoomies. Hey Girl was the first single from their debut album, Promises and Ties. Hey Girl is pop rock with a bit of a 60s feel. Hey Girl, or boy, or person. These are the lyrics. Hey Girl, waiting for the boy next door. Take care, his love ain't so pure. He'll lead you on and lead to love. Oh, you'll be left with nothing but sorrow. Hey Girl, you can wait for him some more. I know your man's got a heart of fire. You know the heat and the touch you rely on. You'll never know what's behind that smile. Watch how you go, because you're only a child. Hey, girl, where are you going now? Hey, girl, don't you wonder how you got left so far behind? Don't you know what's going on in your mind? It's got somewhat of a Pretenders feel, thanks to the vocals of singer Rosie Rayner. And I can also hear echoes of Nick Lowe and Rockpile. To me, this is a song that could have been big. And maybe it is in a parallel universe. I might like to visit there, if that ever becomes possible. Hey Girl peaked at number 60. The Expressos had one more charting single and broke up soon afterward. Johnny Christo and drummer Milan Zekavica later joined the band The Escape Club, best known for their 1988 U.S. number one hit, Wild Wild West.
40 to 31.
Our first top 40 song is a number 40. From Britain, it's 747, Strangers in the Night, by Saxon. Formed in Barnsley in 1975, Saxon were originally known as Son of a Bitch, but they changed their name after signing with a label. The first single and title track from their second album, Wheels of Steel, got to number 20 earlier in 1980. 747, Strangers in the Night, was the follow-up. 747, Strangers in the Night, is based on an incident during a 1965 power outage in the northeastern United States. New York's John F. Kennedy Airport was part of the affected area, and its ground lights went out just as a Scandinavian Airways plane was about to land, forcing the aircraft to remain in the air for some time, risking running out of fuel. Here's the Saxon version of what happened. We got a 747 coming down in the night. There's no power. There's no runway lights. Radio operator, try to get a message through. Tell the flight deck, New York has no lights. There's no power. What do we do? A 747 coming down in the night. Try to get a message through. We were strangers in the night, both on separate flights. Strangers in the night, going nowhere. This is Scandinavian 101. Flight from Hawaii coming out of the sun. Kennedy, you should be in sight. We can't see a thing here in the night. Navigator says we're on the flight path. There's no radio, no sign of life. This is Scandinavian 101. For God's sake, get the ground lights on. Surprisingly, a pop song isn't an accurate reporting of a real-life event. The flight was actually numbered 911, not 101. And it was a DC-8, not a 747. And it was just one of over 500 planes that were diverted from Kennedy during the blackout. Apparently, the flight eventually landed safely, helped in part by the fact that there was a very bright full moon out that night. As for the song, my takeaway is that singer Biff Byford sounds to me like 80s and 90s WCW wrestling heel Kevin the Taskmaster Sullivan. 747, Strangers in the Night, peaked at number 13. Saxon had three more top 40 hits in the 80s, and they've remained active ever since. And their original front two of Biff Byford and guitarist Paul Quinn are still in the lineup. They released their 25th album, More Inspirations, earlier this year. Now we're up to the number 37 song in Canada, Holiday by Nazareth. Formed in Dunfermline, Scotland in 1968, Nazareth released their debut album in 1971, and they had seven top 40 hits in the UK to this point. In Canada, they'd had two, including a number one in 1974 with Love Hurts, which also made the top 10 in the US. Holiday was the first single from their 11th album, Malice in Wonderland. Holiday is a rock song that seems to be about a rock star with a stage mother, who spends a lot of the money he makes on things for herself. At least that's what I get from the lyrics. See what you think. Drinking my wine makes me feel fine. Gonna have me a holiday. Poor man's party, rich man's daughter. Getting hotter and hotter. She's pushing way too hard. I don't want any part of her way. Drinking my wine makes me feel fine. Gonna have me a holiday. It's a holiday. It's a holiday. Drinking my wine, wasting my time, hiding out in my rented dream. Looking for intention, a cover story mentioned in Life magazine. Ask the chauffeur who he knows. Numbers he's got, lots of those. Drinking my wine, spending my time, trying to run from this Halloween. It's a holiday. It's a holiday. Mama, mama, please, no more Jaguars. I don't want to be a pop star. Mama, mama, please, no more deckhands. I don't want to be a sailor man. Mama, mama, please, no more facelifts. I just don't know which one you is. Mama, mama, please, no more husbands. I don't know who my daddy is. This isn't the power ballad that Love Hurts is, nor is it the grinding hard rock of stuff like This Flight Tonight or Hair of the Dog. But the mama, mama, please hook made this stick in my mind. Unlike what people skeptical of Jesus said in the Bible, this is something good that came from Nazareth. Holiday was down from a peak of number 21. It hit number 87 in the U.S. Nazareth had no further top 40 hits, but they've remained active through the years. Bassist Pete Agnew is the only remaining original member. They released their 25th album, Surviving the Law, last year. We make our first visit to the USA to look at the number 35 song, Gimme Some Lovin' by the Blues Brothers. Formed in New York in 1978, the Blues Brothers were characters created by Saturday Night Live cast members Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. They were brothers Jake and Elwood, who wore suits, fedoras, and sunglasses, and performed old blues and soul music. After a couple of appearances on the show, Aykroyd and Belushi assembled a band of veteran R&B musicians, including Steve Cropper and Donald Duck Dunn from Booker T and the MGs, and recorded the album Briefcase Full of Blues, which topped the album chart and produced two hits. As I mentioned earlier, the Blues Brothers starred in their own movie, which was released in June of 1980, and Gimme Some Lovin' was the first single from the film's soundtrack LP. Gimme Some Lovin' is a cover of a 1966 hit by Britain's Spencer Davis Group, initially sung by Steve Winwood. My mission is to read the lyrics. When my temperature's rising and my feet on the floor, 20 people rocking and they want to go more. Let me in, baby. I don't know what you've got, but you'd better take it easy. This place is hot. So glad we made it. So glad we made it. You gotta give me some lovin'. Give me some lovin'. Give me some lovin' every day. Hey, hey, hey. Well, I feel so good. Everything is selling high. You better take it easy because the place is on fire. It's been a hard day and I don't know what to do. We have made it, baby. Babe, it happened to you. This version has big instrumentation and great musicianship, but to me it's not nearly as good as the original. Musically, I think these guys are more important for the spotlight they put on the original songs and artists than for their actual recordings. But their love of the music, especially Aykroyd's, has never been in doubt. Gimme Some Lovin' peaked at number 18. In Canada, it got to number 22. The Blues Brothers had one more hit and released one more album before John Belushi's death in 1982. Dan Aykroyd has continued to sporadically perform with the band, often performing alongside John's brother Jim Belushi. In 1998, a sequel to the movie, Blues Brothers 2000, was released, with John Goodman replacing John Belushi. The backing band also tours without Aykroyd as the Blues Brothers Band. We're into the top 30s now, starting with America's number 25, Wondering Where the Lions Are by Bruce Coburn. Born in Ottawa in 1945, Bruce Coburn briefly attended Boston's Berklee College of Music before returning home to play in a series of bands. In 1970, he recorded his debut solo album, but he didn't have a lot of radio success until he released this, the first single from his ninth LP, Dancing in the Dragon's Jaws. Wondering Where the Lions Are is sing-along folk pop with highly abstract lyrics. You don't have to wonder where the lyrics are. I found them. Sun's up. Uh-huh. Looks okay. The world survives into another day, and I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. I had another dream about lions at the door. They weren't half as frightening as they were before, but I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Walls, windows, trees, waves coming through. You be in me, and I'll be in you. Together in eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Up among the firs where it smells so sweet, or down in the valley where the river used to be, I got my mind on eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. No, I haven't been taking anything. And I'm wondering where the lions are. I'm wondering where the lions are. Huge orange flying boat rises off a lake. Thousand-year-old petroglyphs doing a double take, pointing a finger at eternity. I'm sitting in the middle of this ecstasy. Young men marching, helmets shining in the sun, polished and precise like the brain behind the gun should be. They got me thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. There are hints of ecological concern, pacifism, mysticism, and utopianism in these words. These were all themes in much of his music before and after this. So in this case, the most familiar hit actually is an apt entry point to further exploring his catalog. And I feel like I have to say this. No matter what the spelling of his last name looks like, it's pronounced Coburn. I know, but no, it's pronounced Coburn. Coburn. Anyway, Wondering Where the Lions Are peaked at number 21. It only got to number 39 in Canada. Bruce Coburn had no further top 40s in the U.S., but did manage to pick up 7 more at home. He continues to record and perform, and his 35th album, O Sun, O Moon, came out this past May. And next we have the number 22 single in the UK, Two Pints of Lager and a Packet of Crisps, Please, by Splodgeness Abounds. Formed in Keston, Kent in 1978, Splodgeness Abounds were fronted by Martin Everest, who under the name Max Splodge had previously played in punk bands with names like The Tarts and The Mistakes. Two Pints of Lager and a Packet of Crisps, Please, was their debut single. Two Pints of Lager and a Packet of Crisps, Please, is bratty punk about a guy trying to get the barman at his local pub to get him a couple beers and a bag of what North Americans call potato chips. I've only got one set of lyrics, thank you. Two Pints of Lager and a Packet of Crisps, Please. Two Pints of Lager and a Packet of Crisps, Please. I'll have two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. I'll have some pickled onions and a little bit of cheese, please. Thank you. Two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. Hey, two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. Two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. And I've got all the right money and all that, please. Thank you. Oh, oi! Two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. Hey, two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. Two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. I've been here half hour and I'm getting very thirsty. Two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. Over here. Oi, two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. Two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. Why won't you serve me? Two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. Two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. Listen, I'm getting impatient, John. Eventually, the pub closes without our narrator getting his drinks and snacks. It's not the most substantive basis for a song, but worse songs have been written about bigger topics. And although this was the song on the single that got the bulk of the airplay, it was listed on the charts as a double A-side alongside Simon Templar, a ska-style ode to the fictional character also known as the Saint, who was portrayed on TV by future James Bond Roger Moore in the 60s, and by former Batman Val Kilmer in a 90s movie. Why that's interesting to me is that I know that my mother was a big fan of Roger Moore on the TV version back in the day, and I've always had this suspicion that this is at least partly why I have the first name that I have. Maybe that's not interesting to you, but it's interesting to me. Anyway, Two Pints of Lager and a Packet of Crisps, Please, peaked at number 7. Splodgeness Abounds had one more top 40 hit and released four more albums. They haven't put out an album since 2001, but in particular, Max Splodge still performs frequently. Now we're up to the number 28 song in Canada, Something on My Mind by Teenage Head. Formed in Hamilton in 1975, Teenage Head released their debut album in 1978, and they made their radio breakthrough with this, the first single from their second LP, Frantic City. Something on My Mind is an acoustic guitar-driven pop rocker, different than their usual hooky punk. What's on my mind are the lyrics. If you go, ah well, you know I just won't mind, because they say a love like ours takes time. Have to say, that there's something on my mind. She's a friend, and I knew you wouldn't mind. But if you have to go, that's okay. But if you decide to stay, please don't go. Please don't go. If you stay, ah well, I won't care anyway. If you're bad, well, it's the last chance that you have. Can I say, that a love is sometimes blind? Now I see all the things that went behind. You don't have to please me, because baby, you know I'm easy. The last time that you went, you burned all the cards I sent. But if this time is for good, so it's understood, so if you leave once more, you'll find out what's in store. These guys were definitely students of the Ramones school of punk, sometimes fast and dumb, sometimes slower and more thoughtful, and also very reverent to the sounds of 50s and early 60s rock. I think they refined it a little more to a pop-friendly level, but the mainstream didn't quite catch on. I would say that if there's one band that could be seen as a template for what Green Day did pre-American Idiot, it's these guys. So anyway, Something on My Mind peaked at number 28. Teenage Head had two more top 40 hits, and later in the 80s, they briefly changed their name to Teenage Heads to try and woo more conservative American listeners. They remained together, although two of the group's core members, singer Frankie Venom and guitarist Gord Lewis, died in 2008 and 2022, respectively.
2211.
Our first top 20 hit is the Canadian number 12, Rock Lobster by the B-52s. Formed in Athens, Georgia in 1976, the B-52s gained renown for both their mix of new wave and surf guitar, and the beehive hairdos of singers Cindy Wilson and Kate Pearson that gave the band its name. In 1979, they signed to a major label, and Rock Lobster was the first single from their self-titled debut LP. Rock Lobster is a spacey and frenetic track, made seemingly to accompany sped-up versions of early 60s dances like The Monkey and, of course, The Swim. The lyrics! We were at a party. His earlobe fell in the deep. Someone reached in and grabbed it. It was a rock lobster. Rock lobster. Rock lobster. We were at the beach. Everybody had matching towels. Somebody went under a dock and there they saw a rock. It wasn't a rock. It was a rock lobster. Motion in the ocean. His air hose broke. Lots of trouble. Lots of bubble. He was in a jam. He's in a giant clam. Rock lobster. Down, down. Boys in bikinis. Girls in surfboards. Everybody's rocking. Everybody's frugin'. Twisting around the fire, having fun. Baking potatoes. Baking in the sun. Put on your nose guard. Put on the lifeguard. Pass the tanning butter. Here comes a stingray. There goes a manta ray. In walked a jellyfish. There goes a dogfish chased by a catfish. In flew a sea robin. Watch out for that piranha. There goes a narwhal. Here comes a bikini whale. This is all sing-shouted by the unhinged-sounding Fred Schneider, with backup squiddly-ups and other sounds from Wilson and Pearson. It's one of the great, what the hell was that? I love it! Moments in rock and roll. It would have went far in the 80s Uneasy Rider tournament, but as you'll see, it didn't qualify. Rock Lobster was down from a peak of number one. This may be the biggest reason I'm proud to be Canadian. Hockey's good. The free healthcare is nice. Yeah, we made the arm for the space shuttle. But that all takes a backseat to the fact that we made Rock Lobster a number one hit. Oh, Canada. In the U.S., it only made it to number 56. This is what I was saying about not qualifying. In Britain, it got to number 37, but a 1986 re-release made it to number 12. The B-52s didn't have another major hit until the 1989 smash Love Shack, and they followed that with four more top 40 hits in the 90s. They haven't put out an album since 2008's Funplex, but they're currently on what is said to be their farewell tour, and we know how those things go. Next is the U.S. number 20, Tired of Toeing the Line by Rocky Burnett. Born in Memphis in 1953, Rocky Burnett's father, Johnny, had a successful rockabilly career, with hits including You're 16, which was later a hit for Ringo Starr. Johnny died in a 1964 boating accident, and Rocky later decided to follow in his father's footsteps. Tired of Toeing the Line was the first single from Rocky's debut album, The Son of Rock and Roll. Tired of Toeing the Line is new wave rock with more than a few echoes of rockabilly, particularly in Burnett's vocals. I have yet to tire of reading lyrics, so here we go. Baby, I'm tired of toeing the line. Don't know why you want to jump on me. Baby, 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 you're making me cry. Baby, I'm going to find myself someone new, someone who will be true and no more toeing the line. I know it's over because I see the signs. Don't let me waste your precious time. Baby, I'm tired of toeing the line. If you want to get rid of me, baby, 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 you're doing fine. Baby, I'm tired of toeing the line. I'm going to put on my walking shoes and leave you far behind. You're rolling over and over, so refined. But you can't fix this broken heart of mine. This follows the basic, I'm through trying to do only what you want me to do, so I'm leaving you, trope.
but it's catchy, very well performed, and it sounds great enough on the radio that you will not switch stations while it's on. This is my guarantee. Guarantee Void in Tennessee. Anyway, this is another song that I think gets lost in discussions of the greatest one-hit wonders of the 80s. Tired of Towing the Line peaked at number 8. It hit number 4 in Canada and number 58 in the UK. Rocky Burnett had no further hits, but he continues to record and perform. His most recent album is 2019's Rock Solid. At number 15 in the UK, it's Dance. That's how it's written, by the Lambrettas. Formed in Brighton in the late 70s, the Lambrettas' first single, a cover of the 1959 Coasters hit Poison Ivy, went to number 7 earlier in the year. Dance was the follow-up. Dance is fast power pop, reminiscent of fellow mod revivalists The Jam. Lyrics. It's up to you. Say yes and it's all right. Too much too soon? Do you want to stay the night? If you want to, it's all right. You had enough and you want to be alone. Okay, that's rough. If you want, I'll walk you home. But don't go on your own. Dance with me tonight. At least you can. Just dance. I want you more than I can stand. I've asked before. I'm going to ask again. Just one chance more. So you wanted to stay just friends, and that's the way it ends? Dance with me tonight. At least you can. Just dance. I want you more than I can stand. Dance with me tonight. At least you can. Just dance. I want you more than I can stand. You must be blind. Oh, look, they're telling you you're wrong. Just change your mind. There's only one more song. There's only one more song. Furthering their mod credentials, the band's name comes from a brand of motor scooter favored by England's 60s mods and their late 70s, early 80s counterparts. From what I gather, the mod revival aesthetic involved expensive clothes, long green jackets, the aforementioned motor scooters, and listening to ska, reggae, 60s-era The Who, and bands like the Lambrettas. But you should definitely look to better sources than I for the real story of mods and mod revivalists. Certainly not an expert on that. Anyway, Dance was down from a peak of number 12. The Lambrettas had no further hits, and they broke up in 1982. They reformed with half of the original lineup in 2009, and they released an EP called Go For It, the number 4, in 2017.
Top tens.
Our first top 10 record is the UK number 2, Suicide is Painless by The Mash. Released in January of 1970, MASH was a film about life at a U.S. Mobile Army surgical hospital during the Korean War. For one scene, director Robert Altman wanted a song with quote-unquote stupid lyrics, so he assigned his 15-year-old son, Michael, to come up with the words. The song eventually became the movie's opening theme, as sung by a studio group called the Ron Hicklin Singers. The film was a huge hit, and 2 years later, a CBS TV adaptation of the movie premiered and became an even bigger hit. In 1980, inspired by the TV show's success in Britain, the film version of the theme, the TV version was instrumental only, was reissued there. Suicide is Painless is a folk song with Kingston Trio / New Christy Minstrels style vocals. Attention all personnel, these are the lyrics. Through early morning fog, I see visions of the things to be, the pains that are withheld from me, I realize and I can see that suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please. The game of life is hard to play. I'm going to lose it anyway. The losing card I'll someday lay. So this is all I have to say. The sword of time will pierce our skins. It doesn't hurt when it begins, but as it works its way on in, the pain grows stronger. Watch it grin. A brave man once requested me to answer questions that are key. Is it to be or not to be? And I replied, Oh, why ask me? Are those lyrics stupid? I think they're simplistic, and they sound like they were written in 5 minutes, which apparently is actually the case. But Michael Altman got the last laugh, because while his father was only paid $70,000 to direct the movie, Michael has reportedly earned over $1 million in royalties from the song. Stupid like a fox. So, Suicide is Painless was down from peaking at number one. MASH the series would air its final episode in 1983, and that episode remains one of the most watched shows in American TV history. The Ron Hicklin singers, meanwhile, would remain active into the 90s, singing on film soundtracks, performing television theme tunes and commercial jingles, and backing up pop singers on records. Pop singers. Anyway. Next up, it's Canada, and they're number three, Pilot of the Airwaves by Charlie Dore. Born in Middlesex, England in 1956, Charlie Dore worked in regional theater and on children's television before she turned to pop music. Pilot of the Airwaves was the first single from her debut LP, Where To Now? Pilot of the Airwaves is somewhat yachtish pop about a woman who derives companionship from a late-night radio DJ. Got some hot lyrics coming your way. Pilot of the Airwaves, here is my request. You don't have to play it, but I hope you'll do your best. I've been listening to your show on the radio, and you seem like a friend to me. Or a record of your choice. I don't mind. I'd be happy just to hear your voice saying, this is for the girl who didn't sign her name. Yet she needs a dedication just the same. Late at night, I'm still listening. Don't waste my time chasing sleep. People say I look weary, but that's just the company I keep. Ooh, you make the nighttime race. Ooh, I don't need to see your face. You're sounding good to me. Vocally and stylistically, this reminds me quite a bit of Joni Mitchell. Given the lyrics, I particularly think of You Turn Me On, I'm a Radio. But on its own merits, it earns a high place in the pantheon of songs about radio and DJs. Actually, honestly, that's probably my favorite pop trope, because I think it's pretty common, but not overused. So, Pilot of the Airwaves peaked at number 3. It hit number 13 in the US and number 66 in the UK. Charlie Dore had no further hits, but she had plenty of subsequent success in songwriting, TV and film acting, and improv comedy. She continues to release music, most recently her 2020 album, Like Animals. At number 8 in the United States, it's Steal Away by Robbie Dupree. Born in Brooklyn in 1946, Robbie Dupree was 33 when he finally got a record deal and released his self-titled debut LP, from which Steal Away was the first single. Steal Away is a yacht rock offer to his lover to run off somewhere. I'll stay here and read the lyrics. Come on and hold me, just like you told me. Then show me what I want to know. Why don't we steal away? Why don't we steal away into the night? I know it ain't right. Tease me. Why don't you please me? Then show me what you came here for. Why don't we steal away? Why don't we steal away into the night? I know it ain't right. Into the night, babe. Make it tonight. Ooh, I caught you glancing my way. And I know what you're after. No second chances tonight. It sounds very much like the twin captains of Yacht Rock, Michael McDonald and Kenny Loggins. It sounds like they were involved in the writing and production of this, and yet they were not. And if you believe they were, you're a fool. Get it? What a fool believes? Haha. Ah, well. Steal Away peaked at number 6. It got to number 14 in Canada. Robbie Dupree had one more top 40 hit right after this, but after that, his greatest musical triumph undoubtedly came in 1987 when he performed Girls in Cars, the entrance theme for the WWF tag team Strike Force, Tito Santana and Rick Martel. Since then, he's made a few more albums, and he often performs on yacht rock-based concert tours.
We'll recap the top tens and look at a number one right after this.
Hi, Roger Stroop here. As I'm sure you know, Old Man Yells at Music has a Patreon. I have for a while, but now I've streamlined it. 2 tiers and guaranteed bonus content at both levels. It's simple. And when you join, you will get a mention on the show. And I'll give you a song from my charts. You can tell your friends you have a hit. Just go on patreon.com/oldmanyellsatmusic, pick a tier, and sign up. You'll warm this old man's heart. Thank you.
This week's first top 10 recap goes to Canada. Number 10, Funky Town by Lips Inc. Biggest hit for the Minnesota Disco Act. Number 9, With You I'm Born Again by Billy Preston and Syreeta, a hit duet from the fifth Beatle and a singer who was once married to Stevie Wonder. Number 8, Breakdown Dead Ahead by Boz Scaggs, his third top 10. Number 7, Coming Up by Paul McCartney, his sixth number 1 here. Number 6, Brass in Pocket by The Pretenders, their breakthrough hit. Number 5, Don't Fall in Love with a Dreamer by Kenny Rogers and Kim Carnes, hit ballad by the country superstar and the future Betty Davis Eyes hitmaker. Number 4, Lost in Love by Air Supply, the Aussie duo's international breakout. Number 3, Pilot of the Airwaves by Charlie Dore. Number 2, Call Me by Blondie, the second of three Triple Crown winners. No, their second of three Triple Crown winners. And the number 1 song in Canada this week was Cars by Gary Numan, his biggest hit. Now it's the British Top 10. Number 10, You Gave Me Love by Crown Heights Affair, the biggest hit for a Brooklyn funk band. Number 9, Over You by Roxy Music, their 7th top 10. Number 8, Let's Get Serious by Jermaine Jackson, his first top 10 here. Number 7, Behind the Groove by Tina Marie, her biggest UK hit. Number 6, Everybody's Gotta Learn Sometime by the Corgis, Bristol Group's biggest hit. Number 5, No Doubt About It by Hot Chocolate, their 9th top 10. Number 4, Back Together Again by Roberta Flack Hathaway, the biggest hit duet here for these two soul legends. Number 3, Funky Town by Lips Inc. Number 2, Suicide is Painless by The Mash. And the number 1 song in the UK this week was Crying by Don McLean. The man behind American Pie covered Roy Orbison. And lastly, the American Top 10. Number 10, She's Out of My Life by Michael Jackson, the 4th top 10 from Off the Wall. Number 9, Cars by Gary Numan. Number 8, Steal Away by Robbie Dupree. Number 7, Little Genie by Elton John, his first hit of the 80s. Number 6, It's Still Rock and Roll to Me by Billy Joel, his first number 1. Number 5, Against the Wind by Bob Seger, his 4th top 10. Number 4, The Rose by Bette Midler, the title track from her breakthrough movie. Number 3, Biggest Part of Me by Ambrosia, the 2nd top 5 for the LA soft rockers. Number 2, Coming Up by Paul McCartney. And the number 1 song in the USA this week, and the one in our spotlight, was Funky Town by Lips Inc.
Spotlight number 1.
Formed in Minneapolis in 1979, Lips Inc. were DJ and producer Steven Greenberg and singer Cynthia Johnson. The first single from their debut album, Mouth to Mouth, Rocket, failed to chart. Funky Town was the follow-up. Funky Town is a propulsive, synth-driven dance track that is unapologetically disco. Let me take you to the lyrics. Gotta make a move to a town that's right for me. Town to keep me moving, keep me grooving with some energy. Well, I talk about it, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. Talk about moving. Gotta move on. Gotta move on. Gotta move on. Won't you take me to Funky Town? 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 Disco was allegedly dead by this time, especially in North America, so this song had the odds stacked against it. But this just had such an undeniable groove that it plowed through the figurative rock wall and took its place at the top. It's an amazing amalgamation of Sunshine Band-style beats, Giorgio Moroder electro pulse, and chic, as in the band chic, sophistication.
with maybe some residue of the funk of fellow Minnesotan Prince getting in there as well. Contrary to the common perception, disco was still breathing and boogieing at this time. And it sure as hell didn't suck. This was the last of 4 weeks at number one for Funky Town. It also topped the Canadian chart, but once again, Britain proved stingy with its triple crown jewel and held it to number two. Lip Sync followed this up with a re-release of Rocket, but it only got to number 64. They put out three more albums before breaking up in 1985. Steven Greenberg later became a web designer, while Cynthia Johnson later joined the R&B gospel choir Sounds of Blackness. So how to sum up the pop music of June 1980? New wave and punk were making their presence felt, but older rock stars and easy listening were still stronger overall. And artists who were looking more to the past than the future also had a significant niche. And even if no one wanted to use the word disco anymore, the genre still had the capability to produce big hits if the quality was there.
Old man yells at you.
The old man's going to yell at you now. But what about? How about we start by trying to find the movie Roadie? It didn't do much when it came out, but it seems like a movie that could be very fun and quotable. Or really bad. Either way, I'm curious. Then top that up with deeper dives into two different but both important Canadian artists. Have a listen to Bruce Coburn's Greatest Hits 1970 to 2020 compilation. He wonders about a lot more than the location of Big Cats. But once again, make sure you spell his name right. And then put on the Teenage Head collection, Fun Comes Fast. Something on My Mind isn't on it, but there's 20 other examples of Hamiltonian goodness for you to discover. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Old Man Yells at Music podcast. As always, if you like what you've heard, share, subscribe, and leave a review where you found it. You can also leave feedback on the Facebook and Twitter feeds, both of which are at Mr. Beat Lovehead, or on the blog post for the episode, which is at bobbygloveskc.blogspot.com, or you can check out the Instagram and Threads accounts at Old Man Yells at Music. And if you didn't get all that, all of the links are on my Old Man Yells at Music link tree. As always, there's a companion YouTube playlist for this episode, which I'll link to in the show notes. Also in the show notes is a link to my Patreon, where you can support the show and get all the bonus Microdose episodes, including the latest with the Carpenters. You make my charts just like Mike Birmingham. All the recorded are for the purposes of discussion and review, no infringement is intended. Next time on the show, it's a return to the Uneasy Rider Tournament. 32 more of the weirder hits of the 90s battle it out. Until then, I'm Roger Stroop saying, nice night for a party, isn't it? Stay safe.